WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Wednesday morning. And it is the clouds are definitely building up as I'm taking a look out here over the wind, taking a look out the window here over Stop and Shop is what I was trying to say. And it does look like it could start to be a little bit stormy. I'm looking at the hour by hour forecast, and it says like around 11 a.m., we should get a 30% chance of rain, and that's pretty much going to be throughout the afternoon. You know, 30%, it goes up to 40% at 2 p.m., but the rest of the time it's a 30% chance, and then drops down to 20 in the evening and overnight hours. But it's 61 degrees right now, so as Christina tells you, you might want to grab that sweatshirt. I was looking at sweatshirts yesterday, and I was in the secondhand store over here in the Lifestyles Plaza, Seconds Count, and they had a really nice Indian motorcycle sweatshirt I was looking at. It's just too big. It's a 2XL. I can't put on a 2XL anymore. But I put it on and tried it on, and I reached into the pocket like to see like how far down. The pockets like came down to my knees, and inside of it was a pair of glasses. So if you put an Indian motorcycle sweatshirt on consignment over there and you're missing your glasses, stop by Seconds Count. They have them. They just look like they were, you know, a pair of readers you can get anywhere. It didn't look like it was prescription, so I'm sure whoever had them probably got a new pair by now, but I was just like, I don't think these are supposed to come with this, so I brought it up to the desk. So if you are missing them, that's where they are. Nothing worse than forgetting where you put something, especially things like glasses. Now, I'm a little bit of a different position. I don't always need my glasses on, so sometimes I'll actually like leave the house and be like, oh, I forgot to put my glasses on. But I always found glasses to be like a thing that people who really, really need them and can't see without them, like they must be very rigid in where they put them because it might be really hard to look for them when you can't see. But anyway, 508-996-0500. So we were talking about in the first hour, I was mentioning this story. Now, this was posted in an Acushnet Facebook group. So I don't know what school these students actually go to. I said to the young woman who posted it, feel free to call me, DM me on Facebook, and we can set up a time for you to call in. I know it's school time, and you probably can't do it now, but maybe we can do it tomorrow. I know they were also, Fun 107 was going to have her call in. But she posted last night. I'll just read the post. Protesting to keep the wigs on for school photos. Our school wants us to retake the pictures because they can't identify us. It's hair. Hair changes all the time. There are plenty of circumstances that would eliminate them from trying to make us retake them. This is supposed to be a funny senior prank. Let kids be kids. It's harmless and you can clearly see our faces. We can't do anything nowadays. And so, you know, you've got a lot of people in the comments saying, you know, you're right. It's funny. It's innocent. That the idea of making them retake the photos is ridiculous. And here's the other thing. If the school wants them to retake the photo because they say that they can't tell who they are, which based on the photos that she shared, I don't know how that could be the case. But if that's the case, then the school should have to be the ones to pay to have new photos taken. Right? These students didn't do anything wrong. Why should they suffer a financial? Because do you think Life Touch is coming back and taking another round of photos for these kids for free? Do you think they're going to say right now when they're at the busiest point in time of the year, sure, we'll make time to come back there and take the photos of however many kids took part in this? No, they're going to want money for it. First of all, they're probably booked for the next couple of weeks at least, but when they can get over there, they're going to expect to be paid for it, as they should. It's not their fault. They didn't do a bad job with the photos. Photos look great. But now you're making them come back and retake these photos, and how can you make the students pay for that or the parents pay for that? They didn't do anything wrong either. That'd be like saying, "Oh, I don't like that sweater that you wore in your photo because it's a turtleneck that goes up too high on your face. So you gotta, you know, have the photo retaken with a different shirt on. It's just an accessory." If I was these kids, and I'm trying to think of how I would have reacted in high school. I probably would have done the same thing that they did. I would have been upset about it, and I would have said this is ridiculous, and I would have fought back against it. But the girl who wore the blue-haired wig, I'd go home and dye my hair blue and then show up for my photo and say, "All right, ready to take my new picture." If I was the girl that had the 80s style kind of mullet wig, I'd go to the hairdresser and say, "Make me look like this." Because it seems like a silly thing to take issue with. It's really just because the adults didn't like that they did it, so the adults have to make up a bogus reason to make them redo it. Oh, we can't see your faces. We can't identify you. Well, so if I go and get a haircut, you're not going to recognize me anymore? Because that's basically what it's the equivalent of. If I go home and, you know, if I'm blonde and I dyed my hair brown, you wouldn't be able to tell who I am anymore. It just seems silly. It seems like a silly thing for a school to take a stand on, and good for these kids for taking a stand against it and saying, this is ridiculous. Of all the things that they could have done as a senior prank, this is one of the most innocent ones. These are the kind of kids that you want to say, you know, thank you to. Thank you for doing something that was non-disruptive. But apparently now I guess it has become disruptive because this is what the kids are focusing on here in the first month of school. I mean, I hated school photos. I wish I had thought to like bring in a prop or something. It would have made the photo a lot better. I just felt like it was, first of all, I was only doing it for my mom. Nobody else cared. I asked my mom and my grandma. They were like the only ones that really wanted photos of us. But then you also think, this is going in the yearbook. And people will be looking at this later on in life, and, you know, I want to have some sort of representation of who I was at that time in my life, and maybe being silly and wearing a wig is who these kids are. So it just seems like a really dumb thing to pick a fight about. And while we're talking about schools and kids and things that are getting hyper-focused on. So there's been a lot of talk in the last couple of days. Chris had a guest on. Brian was talking about it, about the boys that play field hockey and the DR team forfeiting, or they're forfeiting the games that they have to play against Somerset Berkeley because there's a boy on the team. And I think people are conflating this issue with the idea of transgendered athletes in high school sports. It's not the same. This has been going on for a long time. As long as Title IX has been in place, just as you have to have equal opportunities for girls to play sports, you have to have equal opportunities for boys to play sports. And the difference is, and here's the thing. In a perfect world, I just want to put it out there. In a perfect world, I would want to see a boys' field hockey team and a girls' field hockey team. Just makes everything easier. It gives people less things to complain about because in the end, it's just a sport, just a high school sport. It's not life or death. And I want to see high school sports be as strong and as big as they can be. And if you had enough boys playing to make a boys team in a boys league, that'd be great. That's how you got a boys and girls soccer team. That's how you got a boys and girls basketball team. Because they had enough people that wanted to play. But on the inverse of this, this is not a new thing. And I hear people misrepresenting this all the time, calling into the radio station to talk about it and everything. It's getting misrepresented as this is some sort of new phenomenon. I gave Brian last night, I don't know if you got to it on a show last night, but I gave him an article at his request that I wrote 19 years ago, 2006, I wrote an article about the boys that played field hockey in the South Coast Conference. And this is not an issue of boys playing field hockey. This is an issue of one particular boy playing field hockey. Because for the last 20 years, I'm sure people didn't like this. I'm sure people didn't, there were people who were against the idea. There were people against the idea back then. You know, I have quotes from two of the longest tenured coaches at that time in the article that I shared with Brian. Cindy Cuthbertson, who was the coach at Opponequit for a very, very long time. And Polly Lawrence, who was the coach at Old Rochester for a very, very long time. And so they had seen the growth of field hockey in the South Coast Conference. And they, as kind of traditionalists, as purists, they didn't think that the boys should be playing. And at the time, you know, there was only a handful. I don't know how many are even playing now, but that was in the South Coast Conference. In other conferences in Massachusetts where it had been going on a lot longer, they had a lot more boys that played. And it was basically what it was the hockey players who wanted to stay sharp for hockey season would play field hockey in the fall. That's many of them were goalies or forwards because it kept their skills sharp for hockey season. And it was kind of also implied that they didn't go all out. You didn't run over the girl on the other team. You didn't impose your physical will if you were bigger and stronger than the opponent. Now, not every kid was. I can tell you this because I went to these games and saw firsthand. Not every boy that played field hockey was physically dominant over the girls that were on the team or on the other team. Some of the boys that played were probably equal or even less physically imposing. And I'm trying to use words that will convey the imagery of what I mean, but whatever word I use, it sounds like, you know, they're throwing their weight around, and they weren't doing that. This particular boy, and I don't know anything about it. I haven't seen the game, so I'm just going by what's been characterized in the media. But apparently he plays harder and injured a girl, and that has caused a lot all this controversy. When for 20-plus years, at least, or, you know, right around 20 years, at least, that didn't happen. And I don't know how long boys were playing field hockey before that. I only know that it was a new phenomenon when I started covering it. So this isn't this isn't something that needs to be completely overhauled, in my mind. There needs to be a discussion on how much can you fairly ask a person to dial back if they're playing a competitive sport. Because, you know, if you've got a kid in boys basketball that can physically dominate every other kid on the other team, you just let them loose. So why can you then say to them in a mixed gender sport, well, now you have to pull it back? And the other part of it, too, is the complaint is how, well, these boys are keeping girls from getting scholarships. No, well, no, they're not, because they're not taking these boys and putting them on girls' college field hockey teams. The other part of it, too, is you got to be careful what you wish for, because if you fight against this and try to make it so that somehow, and I don't see it happening because it's against the law, I don't see how you can say we're going to pull the boys out of field hockey completely. Because then that means if you have girls that play on the ice hockey team, if you have girls that play on the football team, which happens, they're not going to be allowed to play either. And now you're right back to why that legislation was passed in the first place. So, and then this because of, again, maybe there were more incidents that didn't make it into the papers or that weren't made as big a deal about and I didn't know about it. I haven't gone to a field hockey game in probably 10 years. But I don't remember this being a huge issue where, you know, girls were getting bulldozed and getting injured. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. I'm late for it. When we come back, we'll have the news and today's edition of the Gen X Files.
A warning for real estate agents in Connecticut. President Trump signing drug advertising legislation and Poland getting involved with Russian drones.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump is touting the safety of Washington, D.C. In a surprise, he hit the streets of D.C. last night and took in some members of his cabinet out to dinner at a local restaurant.
We all work together, and the outcome is really spectacular. We have a capital that's very, very safe right now.
Trump said it's a safe city, and he thanked the National Guard for helping police fight crime. His restaurant trip comes as the president considers deploying the Guard in other cities to address crime. The 24th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on America is coming up tomorrow, and people across the country are being asked to mark the day in a special way.
Take a picture of the sky that day and post it to hashtag Remember the Sky.
Beth Hillman, the president of the 9/11 Museum and Memorial, noting that many people remember the beauty of the sky on 9/11 before terrorists who'd commandeered airline jets slammed into the World Trade Center and Pentagon and crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. An art installation at the memorial commemorates the sky
with a different color of blue for every person who was killed by terrorists that day.
Nearly 3,000 tiles for each victim who died on September 11th. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Connecticut real estate agents are warned in the aftermath of an incident that happened in Killingly. A potential buyer looking at houses with a female agent dramatically upped the amount he was willing to spend, which raised suspicion. It turned out he was a registered sex offender with a record of sexual assault charges. While no crime was committed in this case, police are recommending agents show properties in pairs and alert other realtors about any suspicious individuals they may encounter. Poland is scrambling fighter jets after Russia launched strikes on western Ukraine. Its armed forces say Polish and allied aircraft are operating in their airspace and that ground-based air defense and reconnaissance are at the highest state of readiness. Ukraine's Air Force says Russian drones flew into Polish airspace and were threatening cities. President Trump going after prescription drug advertising. He signed a memorandum that closes a loophole allowing companies to point consumers to another source, like a website, for the risks and information relating to side effects. Trump is sending out about 100 letters warning companies about the change. It's not an outright ban on drug advertising, but Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says it will make it a lot harder for companies because it takes pages to list all of the side effects. Kennedy predicts a typical drug commercial would now have to be 4 minutes long to list everything required. Cracker Barrel suspending all remodels at all of its restaurants. Popular restaurant chain made the announcement yesterday. The decision follows the chain's failed rebrand that saw it revert to its original logo after receiving negative feedback. Cracker Barrel said that it's continuing to listen to customers. The company told customers that if their restaurant hasn't been remodeled yet, then they don't need to worry because it won't be. The Supreme Court will hear arguments on whether tariffs implemented by President Trump are legal.
The focus will be on Trump using a law meant for times of emergency to impose the duties without the help of Congress. The High Court agreed to take two different cases that cover most of the tariffs, including one filed by the Trump administration in response to an appeals court ruling late last month that said he had went above his authority. The tariffs will stay in place until the court makes a decision. I'm Brian Shook.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox blanked the A's last night 6-0. Both teams play again this afternoon at 3:35.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast. Brought to you by C Street.
Good Wednesday morning. Waking up to temperatures in the low and mid-50s. A little cool this morning, but it's also a little cloudy, and that's not all. As we move through the morning and the afternoon, we're looking out for some scattered showers here for the South Coast. Nothing too big or wide or long-lasting. It's just a couple drips and drops here and there. So it's not a washout of a day, but if you really hate the rain, have the umbrella on hand. In the afternoon, temperature is going to be cool as well. We end up in the mid-60s and upper 60s as we get down toward the coast. That's where temperatures are a little bit lower, so something to keep in mind. Maybe have a sweatshirt around if you get cold easily. I'm ABC6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, let's do it.
The Gen X Files.
Let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. And there will be an X Files connection today. Celebrity birthdays, journalist and commentator and WBSM's own Bill O'Reilly is celebrating his 76th birthday today. Aerosmith guitarist Joe Perry turns 75. Actress Amy Irving, the former Mrs. Steven Spielberg, is 72. Chris Columbus, who directed the Home Alone and Harry Potter films, turns 67. Actor Colin Firth is 65, and the big unit, Randy Johnson, is 62. Filmmaker Guy Ritchie and rapper Big Daddy Kane both turn 57, and actor Ryan Phillippe is 51 years old today.
She's a maniac on the floor, and she's dancing like she's never.
this date in 1983, former Stevie Wonder guitarist Michael Cimbello started a two-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with Maniac. The track was featured in the film Flashdance. September 10th, 1984, the Apple Macintosh 512K was released. 512K was released. It was the first update since the original Macintosh 128K. It was virtually identical to the previous Macintosh, differing primarily in the amount of built-in random access memory. The increased memory turned the Macintosh into a more business-capable computer and gained the ability to run more software. It was the earliest Macintosh model that could be used as an Apple Share server and, with a bridge Mac, communicate with modern devices. So, can you believe that? That they were very excited to have 512K random access memory. Now you have that in the gigabytes. But it was a much different world back then, I guess. Right, Axel and Slash? In 1988, Guns N' Roses scored their first U.S. number one hit with Sweet Child of Mine. The song came together in a surprising way, according to a 2005 article in Q Magazine. During a jam session, drummer Steven Adler and Slash were noodling around when the guitarist began to play a circus-style melody, trying to get Adler to crack a smile. Rhythm guitarist Izzy Stradlin, however, saw the potential in the guitar line. Stradlin came up with some chords, Duff McKagan added a bass line, and Adler began playing a beat, and the rest is history. On this date in 1990, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air premiered on NBC. And my dad wanted to sue them for copyright infringement when he heard in the theme song, Yo Home, Smell You Later. He said, smell you later, that's my line. September 10th, 1991, Nirvana's breakthrough single Smells Like Teen Spirit was released in the U.S. But the song, which appeared on their sophomore album Nevermind, was not an immediate hit. It wasn't until its accompanying music video, in which a high school pep rally breaks out into a riot, began to pick up traction on MTV that the song rose up the charts, giving birth to the grunge movement. And in 1993, on this date, September 10th, The X-Files premiered on Fox. That's the Gen X-Files for September 10th, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Porch Sampler, where you can try such flavors this week as coffee Oreo, chocolate peanut butter swirl, chips Ahoy dough, pineapple cherry, fallen for the cheesecake, very compassionate, and also don't forget their sorbets, sherbets, and non-dairy options as well. Check out McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in the Lifestyles Plaza here in Fairhaven. All right. Well, why don't we take a break here? When we come back, we can talk with you. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We will be right back. And welcome back in. That is Bush with Machine Head. And you probably know that song pretty well if you are familiar with 90s alternative rock. It was all over the radio. Still is to this day, but you might not be familiar with it. That was actually on a movie soundtrack. It was on Bush's album 16 Stone, but it was also on a movie soundtrack. Do you remember what movie it was? Fear. Starring Mark Wahlberg and Reese Witherspoon, where Reese Witherspoon starts dating Mark Wahlberg. This is back when they were still teenagers. And, she was. And so they were dating, and he got really possessive and violent and basically tried to kill her whole family. It was a really, really great movie. I mean, it's kind of 90s cheese now when you watch it, but Mark Wahlberg was pretty awesome in it. So if you've never seen it, It's good for some 90s nostalgia. Anyway, 508-996-0500. And it feels like fall out there today. And that means if fall is back, so is your routine. Between school drop-offs and football games and pumpkin everything, who has time to be doing laundry? That's why Dash Laundromat makes it easy with their reusable laundry totes. You just fill it, you drop it off, and you go. They'll wash, fold, They'll wash, dry it, fold it, and have it ready when you are. It's quick, convenient, totally stress-free. And that's the way that I do my laundry. I just drop it off at Dash. I've got the big blue tote. I fill that up when I have enough laundry in the hamper to fill that bag up. I fill up the tote. I bring it down to Dash. I walk in to tell them what I want. Now, sometimes they ask me if I want anything in it particularly, but now they've got me in the system. So they know how I have my laundry done. They know what detergent I want to use. They know if I want to put it in fabric softener or dryer sheets or any of that. And they'll do all of it. And then I just come back and I pick it up. It's washed, it's dried, it's folded, packaged up for me to easily carry back. And what they do is they'll put the tote, they even fold the tote up and they put it back in the bag. So what I like to do is I will take it all out to the car, open up the tote, open up the bag, pull out the tote, and then take all the rest of the laundry and put it back in the tote so I can carry it into the house easily. Makes it super simple. And I haven't done laundry in forever now. And my clothes look better. They smell better. They're done perfect every time. And this time, when I went and picked up my clothes just the other day, Monday, it was a whole new way of picking up my shirts. So I always talk about how I can pull my shirts right out of the bag and throw them on because they do such a great job. They're not even wrinkled at all. Well, now all my shirts came on hangers. And then wrapped like in a dry cleaning bag. So now I just took them home. I have one of those clothes rod things there, like that you have in your room hanging up to hang up clothes. And I just dropped them right on there. Pulled the shirt off the hanger today, put it on, came into work. Imagine your life being that simple. It can be that simple with Dash. And you can find out more by going to dashlaundromat.com to get started. Download the Dash Laundromat app. They have two locations, One State Road in Dartmouth, and their brand new location on Rodney French Boulevard in New Bedford. And even if you are going to do your own laundry, go check out that Rodney French Boulevard location for Dash Laundromat. It is big. The machines are awesome and plenty of room, plenty of space, Wi-Fi, everything you need so that you can not just drop off your laundry and put it in the washer and dryer and leave. You'll want to spend time there. All right, 508-996-0500. That is my number here. And we were talking earlier about this senior prank that some students tried to, you know, they basically just showed up wearing wigs. And now the school is trying to have them retake their photos because they say that they can't identify them because they had on a blue-haired wig. Still the same face, didn't cover the face. And I was reading the comments on this Facebook post that the student put up yesterday. And one of them is like, you know, I always kind of roll my eyes when somebody's talking about something and then somebody comes in claiming to be an expert and like, hi, school photographer here. And they're probably using these photos as identifying photos in case something happens to you. Okay, except for a couple of things. First of all, what happens if a kid goes missing, right? They go to the parents, or the parents are the ones that report them missing, and they've got plenty of photos. Two, these kids are all on social media now. So there's going to be plenty of other photos that show them. In fact, I can't tell you the last time that there was a missing kid reported, and we got a school picture as the photo that was, you know, what they were putting out there to the public. Two, if this needs to be done for some kind of ID, the school can pay for that. And then when the school is paying for it, then they can dictate how you look in the photo. But as long as the parent is paying for these pictures, the kid should be able to put whatever they want on their head. So maybe you feel differently. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemail on the WBSM app. I've got to take my final break of this hour, and we'll come back and talk more.
These are lives to come. Would you even care?